Well, praise the Lord this morning, and we've been looking over for the past few weeks several aspects of the strength of the Lord. You know, we talked about the dunamis or the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that God wants a development of that strength. Yes, there's an anointing that can come, but there's also a development, and that makes that strength flow through us, you know, continually. As we're walking with the Lord, of course, you know, there's aspects of that strength. We talked about knowledge, that as we know the Lord and His ways, it develops and encourages strength. And one of the ways to do that is by waiting upon Him. And in the last week, we looked at the resurrection power of Christ, that the Lord, you know, He wants to bring the church to a new level of strength and display that. But yet He knows, you know, we realize that to do that, He needs some meek and lowly ones to display that strength too and so, through. And so we want to develop those characteristics that will allow strength to flow. But I want to look at another aspect this week of how we can develop strength. And that's strength that comes through rejoicing. Strength that comes through rejoicing. And there's an aspect of the kingdom of God, how strength is released and developed. Is it, you know, of course, it can be that anointing, as we mentioned, but one of the primary ways we can receive strength to overcome and to get the victory in a situation is through rejoicing or having a rejoicing spirit. Having a spirit that is willing to look at things in a different light. And we've looked at Caleb and Joshua in the past, and I think they're prime examples. You know, they saw, their eyes told them that they had an enemy that was too big for them, that was too strong for them. They would get overwhelmed. And, you know, in one sense, were their eyes lying? No. That was an enemy too strong for them. But yet, they realized that it wasn't just them, but it was God, that God was walking with them. And so they could come back with a good report, right? That good report still said that the enemy was big and there were giants in the land. You know, they didn't leave that out. But they said, but the real news is that we serve a God that is able to get the victory and to triumph. You know, it was a message of rejoicing, of triumph. And that is what would have brought the victory to Israel. Instead, it just brought the victory to those two men. Right? But that different spirit, that rejoicing spirit, oh, that is the key to strength. And of course, Caleb, what did it say about Caleb? That when he was 85 years old, he said he went into the land and he could go fight those giants because he was just as strong as when he was 40 years old. That's a good testimony to have, right? We want to have that testimony that we only grow and, you know, continue in the strength of the Lord as we walk with Him. But I'll tell you what, that comes through a different spirit, a rejoicing spirit. And now let's look, we're going to look at the premier verse on the joy of the Lord. And you probably realize that's what Nehemiah was talking about, Nehemiah chapter 8. And so if we could turn, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. And the background is that, you know, many times in Israel's history, it seems that the knowledge of God's ways would be lost. And then there'd be a revival, and it would be found again. But we're at one of those downward cycles where it was lost. And they had been had many kings who had forsaken the ways of God. And then after that, they'd had 70 years of captivity in Babylon. And here they were coming out. And so you could say they were back on the upward cycle of, you know, there was a generation that didn't really know the ways and the laws of God. You know, the laws hadn't been observed, the feasts hadn't been followed. And so they're coming back to this place of understanding that in Nehemiah chapter 8. And there was, you know, it says Nehemiah and Ezra, they got out the books of the law and they read them again. And when they read that, the people were just, they realized, oh man, we have been falling short. We have not been walking in the ways of God, haven't been fulfilling the law, following the feast as we should have been. And they realized their sin, and there was repentance, there was sorrow. But look at what Nehemiah says. And Nehemiah 8:10, he said, go your way, eat and drink, you know, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I want us to understand that there is a very rightly a time to sorrow, and a time that we should be sorry. You know, when sin is revealed to us, we need to have that sorrow. You know, even in our soul, we want to allow that sorrow to fully work in our soul, you know, and be sorry and feel bad because of our sins, because it's the way of repentance, allowing repentance to work in us. And so we don't want to push that sorrow away. If we do, it just hardens our heart. You know, and so there's that time for sorrow and that repentance. But, you know, sorrow cannot remain. No one is going to get the victory when sorrow is the continual portion day by day. You know, we let it do its work, but then it must be replaced with joy. And thank God for that, that the Lord wants to replace our sorrow with joy. We have seasons of sorrow, but the, you know, joy comes in the morning, doesn't it? God wants to arise as the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings and give us that joy. Another verse, you don't have to turn there, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart, or a joyful heart, does good like a medicine. And doesn't it? When you have a good day and you just feel the joy of the Lord, and the Lord's encouraged you with a verse, or just spoken to you, or just, you know, blessed you in some way, it's like a medicine to your soul. And we want to focus on that, on receiving the joy of the Lord and having Him lift up our heart. But, you know, a broken spirit dries up the bones. And when you have dried bones, that means that your strength, you know, the calcium in your bones, when that goes, boy, you are in a weakened state. And we don't want that. You know, so joy is healing. But continual sorrow can just dry us up so that there's nothing left. That's why we need the joy of the Lord. We must have His joy, you know, flowing and developing in our lives. And, you know, there's something about this gathering in Nehemiah that's very important, especially to us as a part of the last day church that we're coming into this season. Because, of course, Israel had turned from the Lord many years and they were brought into the captivity. And just coming back to the ways of the Lord. And this was the seventh month that they're coming back. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. And actually, it's thought that maybe this was spoken on trumpets. And then 7 days later was Tabernacles. And so it was as if this was a trumpet call for them to move on in the Lord. To come out of their old ways and come in to this Feast of Tabernacles, which Tabernacles is the Feast of Joy. It's when they were bringing the harvest. And, you know, when you bring in the harvest, there's great joy at the bountiful harvest that's being brought in. And, you know, God wants to restore the joy of the Lord to His church. Now, of course, that's hard to do when there's sin in the camp. And so that's why God is going to deal with that. There will be sorrow, but yet He wants to turn it to joy, as He did here in these people, in this situation. There was sorrow, but his purpose was not to just let them sorrow because of the many years they had forsaken Him, but it was joy He wanted to bring them into, and that joy would be their strength. That joy would be their strength. You know, the early church, they experienced the Pentecost revival, right? And that's the revival of seeing the glory and power of God. But you know, the last day church, it's going to be a revival of Tabernacles. It's going to be a revival of power, but of the joy of the Lord because of a great harvest. God wants to bring us into that time of joy, and that joy will be our strength. That is why the church of God is going to rise up. You know, the church saw great things, great miracles in the early church. They never really saw strength in the sense of a glorious bride being brought forth. You know, that was lacking. But God, His promises are that that will not be lacking in our day, in the days to come. and what he wants to do in his church, but it's going to be because of the joy of the Lord. He wants his joy to be flowing in his people in a mighty way so that we're so filled with strength. So we want to major on joy. We want the joy of the Lord to be our continual portion. Now, in considering that, I want to understand joy and what we're talking about here. Because joy, there's really two parts to this spiritual concept of the joy of the Lord. Okay? Joy is a feeling, and that's true. We love feeling the joy of the Lord, the encouragement, the strength, the healing balm of the Lord in our hearts. Joy is a feeling, but joy is also a destination. Okay? So there's two parts, and it helps us. Because sometimes we start looking at the joy of the Lord and we examine how we're feeling at the moment and we say, I'm way off. All right, but we'll get to that. So first off, joy is a feeling. You know, God wants to fill our hearts with joy. You know, as we sing and rejoice, he can flood our soul with joy. And I love that experience of coming before the Lord and we're just so rejoicing and we dance before the Lord and we're just feeling the strength of God. And, you know, we can walk in such assurance and victory because we have his joy. And we need to seek that every day. And if there's something preventing us from that, we need to deal with that so that we can come in and remain and walk in that place of joy and have the continual joy of the Lord. All right, that's our goal. But we also understand that life is not continual, you know, happy feelings in our soul, is it? That would be nice if we could keep that happy place in us. But, you know, we go through things that do not allow happy feelings in our soul to always remain, right? Sometimes we can feel the opposite, and our soul is not in a happy place. You know, in fact, if you do a word study, I thought it was interesting because I was just thinking, you know, I'm going to look up the word soul in the Psalms and just see how the psalmist, their soul was so lifted up to God and filled with joy. You know what you find? If you just search for the word soul, most of the times the psalmists are saying, Lord, my soul is troubled. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver my soul from the enemy. Those are the psalmists. Sometimes it's very spiritual to have a troubled soul because we're going through it, because we're fighting our battles. And if the enemy wants to try and discourage us, try to keep us from hitting the mark and walking in God's ways, what is he going to do? He's going to try to trouble our soul, because our soul is very sensitive. You know, if he can stir up our soul so that we're downcast or disturbed, then he can give us a bad day. And our eyes can kind of shift from following the Lord to, you know, just trying to feel happy again. But God wants to give us strength. But, you know, part of the joy of the Lord is understanding that joy is a destination. Joy is a destination. Sometimes our soul will be troubled, and we cry out to the Lord, oh God, lead me to your holy hill. Lead me to your light and your truth. Send out your light and your truth that they lead me back to your presence. And, you know, so we feel experience and trouble, just like the saints of old did. And those psalmists did. But, you know, in one sense, that can be encouraging because sometimes you have a struggle and you say, I'm trying to be spiritual, but I just do not feel the joy of the Lord today. am I in sin, Lord? Well, we need to ask the Holy Spirit why, right? And he'll direct us. He'll show us why. But, you know, sometimes it's just the battle we face. It's the struggle that each of us has to face and go through as Christians that, you know, the enemy will bring trouble. Our soul can be troubled. And of course, the enemy loves to do that because then he can say, ha, 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 you don't have the joy of the Lord. You're a sinner. You're not going to hit the mark. You know, but yet we have to remind ourselves that joy is also a destination. God wants to bring us to that place of joy. All right? We don't want to agree with the enemy. We want to set our eyes upon what the Lord has for us. Because remember what it said about Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and the experience he was going through. And now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God for the joy that was set before him. That was in the distance. That was his goal. That was the place he wanted to come to. But I think I can guess, and pretty accurately, that he did not necessarily feel the joy as he was in the garden or as he was carrying that cross. You know, in fact, he wept over Israel and over the situation that he was seeing and, you know, the things he was going through. It wasn't just the things in his body, but the hordes of hell attacking him and coming upon him and the things he faced in the spirit. I can't even imagine. I don't think any of us can. Right? But he had a joy set before him that enabled him to endure and hit the mark. You know, that's really an important aspect of the joy of the Lord. That joy is something before us. God in his graciousness will give us times that we feel his joy, and I want to seek that every day. You know, we should have the joy of the Lord flowing through us every day, and we have those times when he just fills our hearts and strengthens us and encourages us. But yet there's also times, you know, that we have to endure and persevere and set his joy as something before us that we will come to and enter into. You know, sometimes we have to set our face like a flint against the things that will try and discourage us and cause us to be downcast. David had to command his soul. And if he had to command his soul, that means his soul was not being very obedient, right? And there's times when our soul is not being very obedient. And you have to say to yourself, sometimes it's okay to talk to yourself. You're not going crazy. Right? You might not want to do that in public, but, you know, in your prayer closet or at home, you know, sometimes you have to command your soul and tell it what to do. I will rejoice. I will not listen to these words of the enemy. I will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we have to take charge and keep our eyes upon the Lord. Now, of course, when we're going through an experience of sorrow, we also realize that God does not want to keep us in that forever, that it's a season. You know, we face hardship, we endure as a good soldier, but it's so that we overcome in that situation. And really, it's an experience where God wants to teach us something. We can get something. We can obtain something that will make us stronger because of that, to make us a better soldier, a greater overcomer, to overcome in a greater degree. You know, that's why Nehemiah said, don't remain sorrowful, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God can transfer that joy into our hearts as we lift up our voices and rejoice in him. And that's really one of the keys. You know, we kind of come down to the meat of it. You know, how do we flow in the joy, or how do we get the joy? Sometimes we're in that place where our soul is troubled. Well, how do we get out of that? You know, how can we overcome? Well, of course, the very practical thing is to rejoice. And we see that as an aspect where the psalmist's soul was troubled, but yet so often they would say, yet I will rejoice, yet I will glorify the God of my salvation. You know, very often they didn't feel like it, though. The joy was not there as they were declaring, I will rejoice. It was not there as they were lifting up their hearts to the Lord necessarily, but yet as they did that, it brought a release and it brought a victory. Maybe not immediately, but it caused them to walk in the way because joy was set before them. You know, in Psalm 29 and verse 1, I'm going to read several verses from the Psalms for the remainder of this message, because we want to look at praise as obtaining strength. In Psalm 29:1, it says, give unto the Lord, all you mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And you see, because praise, there's something about praise that we want to make sure we're continually offering that to the Lord. Because praise is an offering. You know, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Now, there's something about giving our praise unto God that is valuable to Him. Because it's very easy, you know, when everything's going well and you have the joy of the Lord, it's pretty natural to praise the Lord and thank Him. It's pretty easy, isn't it? You know, we've probably been in that place where it's like, oh, I could have stayed in that service forever because the joy of the Lord was just flowing through me. And we want to do that. But then there's times where, you know, I don't know, you come into service or you're coming in your prayer time and it's like, Lord, the last thing my soul wants to do is to praise You. I don't feel like doing that. And that's challenging. I mean, that's a struggle to do something your soul doesn't want to do. You know, when you're in the furnace and it's not so easy, it takes a lot of effort. You have to put aside your circumstances. You have to bypass your mind. And you have to bypass your soul and present yourself to the Lord. But, you know, when you do that, you know, the psalmist talks about giving the sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's something that He values and He treasures. It's sweet-smelling unto Him as that smoke rises up. Because, you know, there's a cost involved. Sometimes praising the Lord is easy and it's not a big cost because it's just flowing through us. But I'll tell you what, when you're trying to praise the Lord and it's the last thing you feel like doing because everything is going wrong, but yet you lift up to the Lord, your heart to the Lord. Job did that. I mean, he literally had lost everything. His wife said, curse God and die. But he said, paraphrasing it, hey, I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord. He gave me everything I had. If He took it away, praise the Lord. That was valuable. The Lord looked, you know, you kind of get the sense that when He was talking to Satan, He said, you see my servant Job. He did something that you couldn't take that from him. You know, that was so precious to the Lord. And that's something we want to ensure that we are lifting up the sacrifice of our praise unto the Lord. And that praise does something. It's powerful. That praise is powerful. You know, another Psalm in 27 and verse 6. Psalm 27 and verse 6. It says, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. I will make praise unto the Lord. And, you know, David, it doesn't seem as if his head is lifted up yet. He's in the place where his head is still underwater, right? But he looks unto the Lord and he makes a declaration. He says, my head shall be lifted up. Therefore, I will rejoice. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will sing praise because God will deliver me. God will lift me up and cause me to triumph. You know, this kind of praise can be so powerful in our situation when we're downcast or when the enemy seems to be coming against us or, you know, we want to give up. It is so important to lift up our praise unto the Lord because there's power in that. In fact, you know, we can consider praise in the light of strength. We realize that praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon that we can use to fight our enemies. And of course, praise is something spiritual. Even though it's something natural we start off with, we sing unto the Lord, but yet that translates into a spiritual weapon that we can use to fight our battles. In Psalm 149, verses 5 through 7, here's a commandment. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. And Sarah and I were just talking about this morning. What does that mean? Does that mean before you get out of bed, sing unto the Lord? Well, that can be true. You might wake up your partner, but, you know, oh well, praise the Lord. But, you know, another time in Scripture where it talks about the bed is your bed of affliction, your bed of sorrow, your bed of difficulty. Sing aloud upon that bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. You know, let the high praises of God be in our mouths in order to fight and defeat the enemy. And that's really the key, you know, is that if we want to fight and overcome, and that's what strength is about. If we're strong, you know, as it talks about in 1 John, you know, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and you've overcome the enemy. That means they are those who have learned to praise the Lord. They've learned to use it as a weapon to fight their battles. You know, it's effective in fighting our battles. And there have been times Sarah and I have, you know, we faced spiritual problems, you know, of different situations we've gone through and, you know, spiritual things. And, you know, sometimes we can face something and doubts and worries and fears start to creep in and, you know, unusual thoughts or wrong emotions. And we just think, man, what's going on here? Why am I thinking these things? Or why am I feeling these things? Or why is this heaviness coming? Or what is this? And we realize, you know, this is more than natural. This is spiritual. And something we found very effective is we'll just gather together and we'll just begin to worship the Lord. Now, Sarah's really good on the piano, so I have an advantage there. But, you know, that doesn't really matter. We can sing unto the Lord. We can lift our hearts and our spirits unto Him. That's what He's looking at. He's not looking at our voices. He's looking at our spirits being lifted up to Him and rejoicing. And, you know, we found that when we start to praise the Lord, we're coming against these spirits. We're coming against these thoughts, these feelings, these emotions, these spiritual principalities and powers that would seek to oppose us in following the Lord. And at times, even when we're done, we've opened the door to our house and said, out you go. And you found it very effective to praise the Lord and get victory. And so I would encourage you to make that a practice in your life. You know, and it's an awareness too. Sometimes I've gone days realizing, man, I'm just struggling in my mind. What's going on? I haven't been praising the Lord lately. And we'll gather together and do that. In fact, I think we've heard about the story before of a man who was having, let's call it spiritual problems. And one day someone was talking with him and he started to share things. And it wasn't him speaking, but it was the demons in him. And the demons started saying, we hate it when Christians praise and clap. We feel like we're getting punched. You know, there's power in praising the Lord. If we want to soften up the enemy so that we can kick them out of our house and kick them out of the temple of our hearts, there's nothing better than praising the Lord. Of course, we have to deal with why they got in too, if there's some door open, you know. Sometimes we can say, well, praising the Lord isn't working. It's like, well, is there a reason why they're coming in? We have to deal with that too. That's just kind of a separate matter. But when we get things right, one of the best weapons is rejoicing in the Lord and lifting up our voice, because the enemy cannot stand that. It can't stand before a praising and rejoicing people. One last verse here in Psalm 8 and verse 2. And I was kind of quickened by this verse, and I've read it in a different way before. Now, this is one that Jesus quoted in the New Testament. In Psalm 8 and verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou might still the enemy and the avenger. Now, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of their enemies, that you'll still, you'll quiet, you'll put to silence the enemy. It doesn't even matter what level of spiritual maturity we've attained to. We don't have to be the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter to use, you know, worshiping and praising the Lord. Thou hast ordained strength even from little babies to quiet the enemy. This is something we can put into practice at any place and any level of our lives to begin to praise and worship the Lord, because it is powerful. It's a weapon. And that we can obtain the victory from it and be strong. And so praising the Lord. This is a strength that we must develop if we're going to be among those strong ones in His church in the last days. They will be those who really know how to praise and worship the Lord. In fact, I imagine that it's going to become a refined art, that when the enemy comes to attack us in different ways, and we're going to have to learn how to fight and how to identify their coming and then identify times, oh, we need to praise. Let's stop everything. Let's praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's seek to lift up the name of God, because we need to start letting the enemy feel the fight and the battle to soften them up. You know, God wants to bring His church into tabernacles. He wants to bring us into that feast of joy, the great harvest. But that's going to come as His people learn to flow in the joy of the Lord, because that's going to become our strength. So we want to learn to fight, to get the victory through praise, and the strength of God will flow. And Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that You have ordained joy for Your servants. That, Lord, even though we go through sorrow at times, Lord, that You've ordained that joy would come in the morning. And so, Lord, we're just crying out to You. Oh, Lord, would You impart a fresh, Lord, portion of Your joy to come into our hearts. Lord, let Your joy become our strength, oh God. Lord, we're so grateful for the plans and the purposes that You have for us, Lord, that You've ordained strength, oh God, for Your people. And Lord, we ask that You would teach us to fight, Lord, through rejoicing in You. Lord, that You teach us to even offer the sacrifice of praise at times when it's costly for us to do it. But Lord, cause us to have that heart to rejoice in You and to praise Your name, that we might be strong and overcome, we pray. Oh Lord, we do just even rejoice in You today, because You're good. Lord, because You're worthy of our praise, oh God. We just thank You. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so why don't we put that into practice? Just as we're closing, let's rejoice in the Lord and lift up our voice to Him. And you know, maybe if you're facing something, let this be a part of that attack. Well, enemy, take this, because I will rejoice in the Lord. Amen.